Data analytics and artificial intelligence are today the most important platforms to support the growth of any organization. In this area, Derivo is a strategic partner offering to their customers expert services that include data management, data visualization, predictive analytics, business intelligence, data science, data security, and cloud computing. We have helped customers like HSBC, Sanofi, and Bimbo to generate significant savings in their business, identifying new growth opportunities and reducing risk through data analytical platforms that improve their decision-making, transforming companies to be more informed with data-driven decisions. Derivo is a partner of the best data analytics technologies: Power BI, ClickSense, Tableau, Snowflake, Databricks, Synapse, Azure Machine Learning, etc. Staff your data analytics backlog in a nearshore schema with a certified team of consultants. Derivo, release the power of data.
Hello, I'm Dr. Beverly Wright, and welcome to Tag Data Talk. With us today, we have Lindsay Patton, Vice President of Data Science from 8451. And we're talking about evolution of data scientists, the transitioning role of the data scientist. Thanks for joining us, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me, Beverly. I am humbled and excited to be here and get to talk about a lot of my favorite things: data science, skills, roles, and how that all comes together for talent strategy.
Fantastic. Well, let's start off with some basics. Tell us, why are you so cool?
Why am I so cool? Oh, gosh. My family's probably been trying to figure that out for like 35 years. So I probably don't have a great answer on this. I maybe professionally, I would say, I think my background in terms of how I got into analytics and data science is kind of cool. I have undergrad degrees in psychology and cognitive science, and then I have a business master's in marketing, and I've been able to parlay that into experiences in analytics, HR, marketing, data science, leadership, all those things. So I think that's cool. I would also say I'm maybe cool by association. I know this is about like really big industry level topics, but I work for an organization, as Beverly mentioned, called 8451, which is a retail data science insights and media company that helps Kroger, consumer packaged goods clients, agencies, publishers, and kind of affiliated parties solve data problems. So I love that organization. What I would say is, in addition to just the work being something that I think is really cool, it's an organization that shares values that I have around just being whole person outside of work. I'm really into being a female in STEM. I work a part-time role. It's great. So that's why I'm cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very good. And I know other colleagues at 8451, and they're equally as excited to be there, and the kind of work that you guys are doing sounds very interesting. Cool. So one of the first things that we're talking about, the evolution of data scientists, is a really interesting topic. I was explaining to someone earlier today that many people fall into data science. You know, I started 30 years ago before it was really well known. It was called decision scientists. And now to see how it sort of moved and transitioned. So let's talk about, well, when we talk about a data scientist, help us with the data scientist of the past, and then zoom us to the data scientist of today. And then maybe we can talk about that evolution and the gap in between the two. But help us with the legacy data science people.
Absolutely. And just to kind of prime some of this too, with when I talk about a lot of things that I'm going to share today, I'm talking in the context of industry. Because Beverly, as you've mentioned, I mean, it's probably debated, but data science as just a field of study is probably debated in terms of when it exactly originated. I've seen things that date it back to as early as the 60s, the 80s, the 90s. But in terms of just its really big surge in industry, I'd say that that's happened a lot in the last like 10 to 15 years. So by the past, I'm probably going to focus on like, what did things look like 10 and 15 years ago? And then now I'll talk a little bit about where I've seen things going just in some research that I've done with my team in the last couple of years. So I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you've read it and probably reference it like I do, but about a decade ago, HBR released an article that said something like data science is the sexiest career of the 21st century. And I was like, great, this is awesome. This is what I'm in. And people think it's cool. So
themes all here. I can tell my kids. I can tell my family.
That's right. That's right. But back then, it was, at least in industry, a lot more of kind of a industry was more in its infancy around using data to actually solve problems. And so the work and what you did and the skills you had looked pretty different than they do today. And we'll talk about skills maybe a little bit later, but the work you were doing was probably less mature. Businesses were just in the point of trying to actually incorporate data into decision making. And the role was a little bit more vague in potentially like, oh, you may do this, you may do that, wearing different hats. Fast forward a little bit, what I would say is while we can talk about, again, some of the skills at core and dynamic and things changing, what we've seen is just a really big increase in adoption in industry for not only using data to make decisions in business, but using data to drive decisions at scale. And I think that at scale modifier at the end is really key and critical to some of the things that I've seen in terms of just role evolution. And what do I mean by that? When you said a data scientist or even an analyst, call it 10 or 15 years ago, you could have been doing a bunch of different things, but it was kind of more of an industry recognized term. I would say today, when job descriptions are posted for a data scientist, depending on an organization's maturity and kind of data adoption journey, that can mean pretty different things. So what we're actually starting to see is a lot more niche differentiated roles. We've had to move away from kind of data scientist as a unicorn and more into, hey, do we have a data scientist? We've seen data translators, data science consultants, machine learning engineers, research scientists, all kinds of different roles that actually play in different parts of a data science problem's life cycle. So the skills and roles then really vary depending on the company and maturity.
That's great. I love this. Okay. So the data scientist of the past is the work is a little bit simpler. Mm-hmm. They were required to wear a lot of hats. I mean, that I remember having to do my own data engineering. And then when there was a data engineer specifically for that function, it was like, hallelujah. The culture of decision making was different. And you didn't say that exactly, but you kind of hinted at it that I got the impression from something you said that you sort of had to convince people to use the results, the insights. And so simple, you got to wear a lot of hats. In a sense, you're sort of required, if you really wanted to full scale, you're required to be a little bit of a unicorn. You had to be able to influence. You had to be able to do the work. You had to be able to do the engineering, all of it, one-stop shop. Is that a good depiction of your 2010 guy?
No, I think that's great. And I think maybe something I left out too, a little bit about the point that you were just making around having to kind of sell and influence. It's almost mm-hmm. flipped in that now everybody wants it, but there's this need to mm-hmm. democratize, meaning make it consumable and understandable for different audiences, but also help people understand what they really need. And knowing and understanding that gravitating towards the most complex and sexiest application of data science might not exactly be what your business needs to solve its most critical problems. And that's a skill.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then the 2010 guy is more focused on the adoption and the at scale, and that's a distinguishing feature. And again, you didn't say this, but I sort of felt that you were saying that they have a seat at the table. Like this decision-making paradigm and the whole philosophy and the culture and the processes associated with decision-making have changed in 2020. And the last thing I captured that you mentioned was it's not a data science unicorn anymore. It's a data science unicorn department, maybe. Like the whole function maybe is a unicorn, where you have roles of people that specialize in the data engineering or in the machine learning part or in, you know, different types of things like the translator, the person that knows how to use colors. I mean, even in some of the illustrations. And so the storyteller, so there's different facets of the whole thing. Is that accurate?
I think so, for sure. Okay. I think the whole notion of just things too becoming more niche and specialized, in addition to like the different types of roles, when you think about even just like a data scientist as a title, what we're starting to see too is a lot more niche in the space of like a domain. Let's call it media. Data scientist, mm-hmm. media, meaning we want that expertise, or even practical application. Data scientist, NLP, recommender systems, whatever that may look like. And so the need to kind of still have that core and general skill set, which is something we should probably talk about as I keep mentioning it, but it's still tried and true, but there's also a need for specialization. So it's kind of having the best of both worlds.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was talking to a hiring manager earlier today with one of my colleagues was on the phone and with me, and she said, well, I need a data scientist, but they need to know the product side, how to leverage data science to monitor products. And by the way, they have to be on e-commerce and they need to, you know, do this and they need to do that. And so we've gotten to that that level. And I tell people that are mentees when they ask that you can specialize. You know, if I were to graduate right now, Lindsay, I probably would focus on consumer loyalty in financial services. Like, that's it. But back then, you didn't really have those kind of options. You just had to do all of it. Whereas now, I think it's what you're saying, you can have more specializations and more narrow focus. Do you think that makes us better as a profession? Or do you think that kind of pulls away from the bigger picture? You know, people being able to see that bigger picture. How do you think that has an impact?
I mean, I think it depends. I think in some ways it can be a little bit crippling, such that I think the point that I was talking about a couple of minutes ago around, there's still a lot of education around informing businesses around how to responsibly and even use data to the extent that they need it. I mean, you've heard the expression in data science too, like all models are wrong, but some are useful. I think sometimes we have this tendency to be like, oh man, if we can use AI in our business to solve this problem, that means that we're cool and sophisticated and better. And so to this extent to be like, yeah, let's get a data scientist who specializes in natural language processing. I think there has to be a little bit of a pause to think about what are the problems in your business that you're trying to solve? And actually, is that really what you need? Does that make sense?
Completely. Love it. It also makes you wonder too, like, what are the core skills? Like, there are some skills that are just core. And then don't you think, Lindsay, there are some things that are sort of fleeting? Like, maybe it's a skill right now, but it's not going to be a skill forever. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Like, when you think about the 2010 guy, you know, now that we've sort of understood the evolution a little bit, this 2010 person that's a data scientist, surely there are core things that absolutely every data scientist really needs to know. And then there are dynamic kinds of things. Talk us through that a little bit, please.
Absolutely. And I've had the benefit of sitting in on some of your talks in the past. So I'll kind of borrow a paradigm that I've seen you use, but I'll reference it and explain it a little bit for listeners who may not be as familiar. But you talk about, I think about this in kind of two ways, the what and the how. So in terms of the what, how do we define data science? And I think what I see and what I've heard you talk about is really three concentric circles. So it's tech and hacking skills, some form of math, statistical background, algorithm understanding, and then it's domain. And domain can be, as we talked about, like a business domain or even an applied domain in data science. So to me, those things are still at the core of the what. The interesting thing and what hasn't necessarily changed in the time that I've been in data science and analytics is also the how element. And what do I mean by that? And what am I looking for universally when I'm looking for really solid data science and analytics professionals? It's evidence of being a collaborator, a learner, and a problem solver. So while some of the technical applications, let's pick on hacking for a second, may have changed, what I'm actually really looking for is just evidence that you're able to learn, you can collaborate with others, and you can use that to solve problems. I don't necessarily care if you've done it in Python or C or SAS. It's really evidence of being able to do that, but also showing that nimbleness and agility to be able to flex and learn over time. So I'll pick on myself for a second. 2010 guy, one of my first programming languages was SAS. And then SQL. We've evolved into R and some Python, and that's changed over time. And we've had a lot of debates even internally right now, like, hey, for all of our different roles in data science, should we just be looking at Python and make sure anybody we hire has that? And there's been some, I think, really healthy conversations and debate about, well, no, that's a tangible and potentially a fleeting and a really teachable skill. So if somebody shows me that they have desire, hunger, aptitude, and ability to learn, I'm hiring that person every day, all day, over somebody who just is a Python expert. Because that's probably going to change.
Wow. Lindsay, that is a huge, that's a bold statement, because hiring managers everywhere, they go down the list of, and look for tools. But what you're saying is some of the skills that are more important to you are things like collaboration, the thirst and the ability to learn, and the drive toward problem solving. I've heard curiosity a bit, you know, quite a bit too.
Tons.
That's another one that, yeah, I think that ties into the problem solving, but the collaborative mindset, the learning spirit, and the ability to problem solve are way greater than whether they know Python or not, because that is a somewhat of, I mean, tools kind of come and go, you know what I mean? Like, I hate saying that, but I too started on SaaS. I'm like a SaaS ninja. And now there's, you know, EG and there's Enterprise Miner and all these other tools that you can use, and Python is in the works. And that's a really interesting perspective though, because you're saying that it's the personality characteristics that tend to they're more important than things like the technical ability to use Python, because that can be taught.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for more senior or even niche or specialized roles, like let's say we have something posted like a machine learning engineer that we really need to come in and immediately hit the ground running and be able to automate and refine some code in Python. Like, of course, we're going to look for Python. But sure. I guess what I'm trying to say there is that I think sometimes there can be, to your point, an emphasis on specific tools when, yeah, those are things that are fleeting, can be taught, and change.
Yeah. And in some ways they're merging. Like when I teach at, when I was teaching at University of South Carolina and before that at Georgia Tech, I let my students choose whatever tool they want to do their analysis. And so I've gotten pretty good at, like, I can read just about all of them. I can't necessarily write in all of them, but I can read in pretty much any programming language that does analytics. So they're becoming similar in a way that if you've got the right person and you've got the person with the desire to want to solve problems, then it sounds like you're saying, well, we can teach them things like tools. Cool, cool. So in the future, now we're looking at 2030, dude, what do you think the skills of the future for data scientists are going to be? Which this is a bit of a loaded question, because you've got AutoML coming into the play. You've got all kinds of things. So how do you see the role of the data scientist transforming in the next decade?
Yeah, and I bet we could do some probably data science predictive analytics to even think about that. And full disclosure, I have not done that. So these are just my opinions here on kind of where I see things going. But really, I think it's around a couple of big things. So I think those core skills in terms of what and how will hold true in terms of like 2010, 2020, 2030 person and how they can potentially be successful. Where I see the field changing and evolving such that it will necessitate roles as well is continued scale and expansion and adoption, hence requiring more of those different types of roles in more organizations, so competitive, but also things that we haven't even touched on yet that are becoming really hyper hot and aware in just the industry in general. Think about things like algorithm fairness, data privacy, and even using data responsibly. So I think there's going to be elements of things like ethics that come into play. And yeah, I see those as really key.
That makes a lot of sense. I've often said, and I think it's in one of my most recent posts too, that I've often said that our technological progress seems to be outpacing our ethical code. You know, that are we really thinking about, are we just building dragons that are flying around and burning towns? Or are we thinking about the type of dragons that are going to actually solve the problem? Like, are we building models that make sense and that are ethical in the long run? Or are we just sort of building and then seeing what kind of consequence comes out of it? So having someone that is more focused on the ethical component of what they're doing as the future, that's a very interesting perspective. Do you think we'll see less people that are in the black box that are building the models, and then we'll rely on our tools a little bit more? Or what do you think about that?
So we may have less hands-on building and tools that enable, but what I think doesn't necessarily change. So when you think about something like a data robot, and as an example, which is enabling some of what exactly you're talking about, the thing that does stay the same though still is that foundational understanding. You really can't be a really skilled even user of data robot if you don't understand the why and even the methods behind some of the models that are available to you in there. So I guess what I'm trying to say is even if you weren't hands-on building it manually, you still need to get it. So like just because Excel can do some math for you doesn't mean you don't have to know which numbers to add and which formulas to use.
Right, right. Gotcha. Okay. So they still have to have that fundamental mindset, but just they, as far as like what's applied, they may be more, companies may have more reliance for candidates that know how to solve problems, know how to communicate the story, know how to navigate insights, know how to create solutions at scale that are actually problem solving the problem. Very interesting. So Lindsay, what final piece of advice would you give to our listeners that are trying to evolve data scientists in the right way? Like if they were to have some level of influence on it, what advice would you give to people?
So I'd give advice to probably both people leaders or managers and also practitioners themselves to really think about what's impactful and how you learn. So at 8451, we've embraced just a well-known paradigm, the 70-20-10 model of learning, which for those who aren't familiar or even those who are and need a refresher, really what that is that 10% of your learning comes from education, 20% comes through exposure or social, and then 70% comes through experience. So it can be really easy to focus on like, oh my gosh, I really need to learn Python. I should probably just go quickly sign up for a course. But think about ways in which you can do that to really help yourself reach proficiency. And what does good look like there? What people do you have in your network that you can meet with and talk about? How can you set up communities of practice and learning to actually get experience? There's a ton of data freely available out there where you can practice. And how do you hold accountability for yourself to do that? So I would say don't be deterred by not knowing the latest and greatest tech or feel like you have to, in that 10%, have this specific educational background. I mean, let's flip back a few, like 20 minutes ago to when I said what makes me cool. I didn't have a master's degree in data science. And while that is becoming more common, I would say a lot of what has helped me get where I am are those experiences and even exposures. So
nice.
Chase that.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. I love that. And it's very timely that you talk about that because TAG has just adopted Master Modeler Competition 2023, which is an opportunity for teams like your team to compete and get hands-on experience working on a problem to solve it for a nonprofit that helps benefit the community. So those kinds of opportunities, it sounds like you're saying, are those kind of experiences can help catapult you. That 70-20-10 is really really something, because when people finish an undergrad and then they get a master's and they realize that's 10% of their learning, I think that can be a little disappointing.
Absolutely. And I love that.
I agree. Totally. Awesome. Well, thank you so much to Lindsay Patton from 8451, Vice President of Data Scientists, Data Science, for talking to us about the evolution of data scientists.
Well, thanks, Beverly and team. It was an honor and a delight to be here.
Thank you.